Blog Talk Radio.
What I'd like to do tonight is to provide a small introduction to the topic of eschatology. Eschatology is a vast subject, systematic theology. So I want to begin with an understanding of this particular age and some characteristics of this age and how it fits this icon in the Greek. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul makes a very curious statement, but I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. So verse 1 reads, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you," speaking of the believers at the Church of Corinth, "or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self." And so, in verse 3, in the Greek text, the words are not man's judgment. In fact, the words read man's day. Man's day. And so, in 1 Corinthians 5:5, Paul contrasts man's day with the day of Christ. And so in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5, we read these words, "To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." And so we have a contrast. We have the day of man, or man's day, and then on the other hand, we have the day of Christ. You and I are currently living in man's day. Okay, and so with that, let us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so we read these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to take a look at verse 4. "In whom the God of this aeon," or the God of this world, "hath blinded the minds of them Diabolos, which means one, the term do is an adjective, which means the one who divides people for no reason. He is the Diabolos. He causes conflict between people for no reason. Hence, believers are told by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the armor of God with the helmet of salvation. This one, devil, this diabolos, we have the prefix dia, which means through, one of the Greek prefixes. And then we have bolos, which means to toss. So it is to break through. And in Revelation 12, he is called the dragon, the great dragon, or the sharp-seeing one. The sharp-seeing one. And so the god of this age, the Satan, the devil, the dragon, the great dragon. In Genesis 3, he is called the Nakash. He is the shining one. This, and therefore, when he attacks believers, he either comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour or swallow down whole, or he comes as the deceitful serpent. Please read carefully the language in Genesis 3. Very, very frightening language. And please read the language of the Satan in Job chapter 1. Read his language. And we see the adroitness, the skillful adroitness of the devil, with the way he uses language. And the unwary and the artless and the naive and the simple fall into his traps. Because you may think you know how to answer, but you do not. It's like the old question given to this person, quote, well, have you stopped beating your wife? The language is not adroit and very dangerous. So we're talking about the god of this age. Notice the power that is given to he is said to have in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the god of this world, the god of this ion, is an evil ion, or ion paneros in Galatians 1:4. He hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. See, there is a rejection of the message of the gospel, and then as a result of the rejection, these individuals are blinded. So unbelief is really disbelief. Unbelief is really disbelief. It is a rejection. It is, may I say, it is the culpable rejection of the message of the cross. By that I mean that one is still accountable to God for the rejection of the message of himself. There is that culpability. It is therefore inescapable. No matter what an individual may say to himself or herself, those individuals who reject the message of God and what he has done through his son are still so. Who have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. Now, so we've talked about the day of man, we've talked about the day of Christ, and we've talked about the God of this age. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul gives us more important information. Ephesians chapter 2. And so, verse 2 reads, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Listen, according to the prince of the power of the air, A-E-R in Greek, the spirit that now worketh or energizes the children of disobedience, or the unpersuadable one. Those that refuse to be persuaded by God. And so notice Notice power. Notice what is going on. And so when we talk about the end of this age, we want you to understand who is at the head of the rush. Who is at the head of the age? It is the devil. And remember John 10, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So Paul writes that in the last days, terrible times will come. And he says, they will be loved in themselves. And of course, there's the Olivet Discourse. There are passages, of course, of Daniel 10. You have to read Daniel and Revelation. We discussed that technology. And there are various references throughout Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Ezekiel presents a very beautiful picture of King. And he talks about this unique day where time and eternity are together in this magnificent way. So, are we at the end of this age? Well, we read that the end of this age is going to be characterized by a falling away first. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 reads, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. And in verse 2, Paul lets us know that it is reference to the day of Christ. Let no man deceive you or seduce you wholly. The enemy loves to seduce, so he can strike. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and Chi, that man of sin, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is spoken, for that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself as God. So in verse, mm-hmm. I'm falling away first. And please read about the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. And here we have commentators believe that this refers to the apostasy, the great apostasy, the apostasy of the church. In Greek, this falling away first literally means the standing away, just placing oneself away, that is not to believe the word. And so these are those who reject Christ. And it is imperative to understand this event, what it will look like. And we see a great deal of evidence that this is going on today. We will continue this study in our next show. Good evening. God bless you.